Joel 2, verse 1. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. We pray. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. You know, there are a lot of different reasons to blow the trumpet. And all of them have something in common. Children of Israel, in the wilderness, blew the trumpet to gather together, blew the trumpet to break camp, to go to war. Later on, they blew the trumpet to commence ceremonies, feasts, festivals, new moons, and new years. The commemoration and the coronation of a new king was also met with the blast of a trumpet. And if you were Gideon, you could use it to defeat a massive enemy army, or Joshua, to tear down Jericho's walls. It's an idea full of meaning. The sound of alarm, the blast of a trumpet, gets our attention, warns us about something, calls us to get ready, to pay attention, to be prepared. For what? In Joel's day, it was a plague of locusts that was infesting the land. Locusts are very much like grasshoppers, except for one very important difference. They travel in massive hordes. So big that we're told they could be as much as 1,800 miles long and 110 miles wide. That's like from here down to Texas and from Eau Claire to the far side of the Twin Cities. There were so many of them that they would blot out the sun and make the day black. They were so voracious and hungry, they would eat animals, even people. And they were so unstoppable that even trains stopped in their tracks because of them. It's pretty terrifying. And Joel asks the question, who can endure it? But he's not just talking about the locusts anymore. He's really not even talking about locusts at all. He is warning the people about another plague, the plague of sin and unbelief, which was in the land. People turning away from their God and forgetting him, turning to other gods and worshiping them instead. There's a problem then, and Joel points out that the locusts were a judgment, a call, a blast of the trumpet to get the people to turn, to repent, because there's something much worse coming than the locusts, and that is, Joel says, the day of the Lord. And he's talking about the end of the world, the judgment day. That too will be a day of blackness, a day of gloom, a day of terror. That will be a day when no one will be able to hide from the judge of all people. They will try, saying to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us, Matthew says. But no one can hide from him who searches all things, whose eyes see into the hearts of every person, who knows every thought, every false step, every wicked word that you have ever said. And he will hold you responsible for them. You will have to give an account for those things. And on that day, there will be nowhere to hide. There will be no escape. There will be no help. And so Joel says, who can endure it? Of course, the answer to that question is no one without Christ. None of us could stand. We will all be doomed on our own. And yet, there is an answer. Joel, in blowing the trumpet of the law to terrify us, also gives us a place to endure, a place to stand. And he calls you and me to get up on the mountain of Zion and blow that trumpet for others, to send out the invitation to the nations, the sweet call of the gospel, telling them to come and find refuge from the judgment that their sins deserve and the only place where they will be safe. And that is in Zion. But what is Zion? Well, Mount Zion was one of the mountains of Jerusalem. It was the mountain on which the temple was built. And God uses the term Zion in the Old Testament to refer to his temple, to his city of Jerusalem, and most of all to his people, and his dwelling with his people. It's a reference to the church, all believers of all time, dwelling with God. In heaven, it will find its In heaven, it will be us living with him in perfection. But in this life, he dwells with us through his word and sacraments. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says. Psalm 2 says that it is on his holy hill of Zion where God has placed his king, who rules in our hearts through his grace. Joel says that it is in Zion where God lives with his people and only his people, where there is peace and safety and forgiveness. It is in Mount Zion, Joel says in verse 32. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. It is in Zion that there is an escape, a refuge, a place to endure the plague. See, we don't have locusts, but we sure do have a plague of unbelief and sin. You know it well in your own heart and in your own life. How often you have forgotten your God and turned off to other ways. How often you have not had time for him because you wanted to go update your Facebook status or watch some TV show or watch a football game, but you didn't have time to spend some time in God's word or to come and pray to him, to thank him for what he has given you, and to ask him to help you when you need it. How easily we forget. How easily we don't believe. That's the plague in our own hearts. But there is a refuge. There is a place to endure, and it's in Mount Zion. That's the place, you notice, Joel says, where those who call on the name of the Lord shall be. Because it's the place where the believers are. Those who call to their God, and he forgives them. That's the place where we can escape. And that's the place where we will be only because God has called us. We didn't get there ourselves. In Zion, we have the forgiveness of our sins. In Zion, Jesus comes and says to us, your sins are forgiven because I paid for them. Every doubt that you have had, every moment of unbelief, every time that you've forgotten me, it is taken away. And he pours his forgiveness into our hearts. And that's important. Because Zion is where we need to be. His forgiveness is what we need to have if we are going to blow the trumpet, as Joel asks us. If we are going to be God's prophets and warn the nations and give them the invitation to find salvation in Zion, we need to be in Zion. You know, these days when you talk about mission work or you talk about anything in general, there's often a tendency to focus on methods. 10 steps to having a better life, 5 tips to reaching out and doing evangelism. There's also a real tendency when we talk about evangelism to act like it is some kind of thing that we have to do. But if we think that mission work is, well, work, some kind of law that needs to be fulfilled, or if we think that we can find results, get results by following certain methods or tips, we're sorely mistaken. These won't help us at all. Peter and John said, we cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. You know, the illustration is that you are a glass. If you want to use the term that Paul uses, jars of clay, earthen vessels, and you're empty. You're completely passive in this analogy. The glass does nothing, it sits on the counter. And if you want that glass to overflow, you can't just pour a little water in here, a little water in there, maybe some later. Forget about it. No, it'll evaporate. Somebody might drink it. And that's fine for a glass, but not for you. God wants you to overflow. He wants the message of his forgiveness to flow out from you to everyone around. That is how you do mission work. When God has filled you. And the only place where that happens is in Zion. When he gathers you, when he calls you into the safe place of his church and fills you with his word, his spirit, and his sacraments, gives you the forgiveness of sins, and says, you know, every time that you forgot me, every time that you were too scared to speak about me to your friend because you thought that they wouldn't like you, every time that you were too lazy, every time that you have something better to do, it is forgiven. You don't have to earn your way to heaven by evangelizing so many people. heaven is earned for you. It's won. My blood paid for it all. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. And he fills us with his Holy Spirit, pouring it out upon us. As Joel says, he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. That happens through the Word. That happens in Zion. And when we are filled, we overflow. We can't help it. And that's the way it should be. And as we overflow, we blow that trumpet for others. Because you and I have the answer to that question that Joel asks. Who can endure it? Who can escape? We know. Those whom the Lord calls. Those who call upon the name of the Lord. Those who are in Zion. So, prophets of God, get up on the mountains. Stand in Zion and sound the trumpet, not only of the law, but especially of the gospel, sending that invitation to the nations. Come and find refuge. Then will be fulfilled what Isaiah wrote. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good tidings, who preach peace, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Blow the trumpet. Being overflowing with his grace, blow the trumpet of the gospel, so that all might find their refuge in Zion. Amen.